Travis is engaged, everybody. Let's not even start the podcast off any other way. You already know this is the Travis engagement episode, okay? I don't want to work my way into it. I don't want to slow roll you. I want to come in hard and nasty. It is official. Our couple, Travis, Courtney, and Travis Barker are engaged, folks. We have been manifesting this since day one. We have known that these two were meant to be when nobody else saw it, when everyone else doubted it. The Travis Forever fandom has known. This is our moment, people. I know Courtney and Travis think this is about them, but really, it is about us. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I am so ecstatic for these two. We are going to dive all the way in, head first, body, all of us, into the Travis engagement. Does everyone remember where they were when they heard Travis got engaged? I do. I'm going to tell you all about my night. So all of a sudden, I get a DM from a follower that says, "Oh my gosh, Courtney and Travis are getting engaged." The DM also has a photo attached to it of them on the beach. I'm panicking. What do I do? The real dilemma whenever you run a social media page is not finding the information. It's deciding what to do with it. It's deciding what to push out, what to hold back, when to release things, what to say about it. That's a little behind the scenes of when you're running a page. When you get super personal information like this, which tends to happen because life doesn't happen in a capsule. There are people around, especially public figures, Courtney, Travis, anytime they're anywhere, people are pulling out their phones, they're snapping photos, they're taking videos. These two are the hottest couple on the planet. And so there was not going to be a scenario, unless they were in a very private, exclusive room, where somebody didn't catch a photo of this engagement. And so got the information. Honestly, first thing I did was start checking some of the other pages. When you have something super personal like this, you never want to be kind of like the first one to release it, because even though you would think it's the opposite, right? You kind of think like it's the opposite. You get a scoop, you want to release it first. Yes. But when it comes to like babies and marriages and engagements, it's like, these are some of the most special times in a person's life. And who the fuck am I to be like, "Hey, guess what? Courtney and Travis got engaged," before Courtney herself has a chance to tell us. Start looking around. Start seeing some of the other pages posting things like "big news coming." And I'm like, okay, I can maybe say "big news coming" because that's not too much. Except that it is, because I am the Travis fan page. So if I have big news coming, obviously the big news is going to be something to do with Travis. So, you know, very excited. Obviously had to hold it in for quite some time until, thank goodness, TMZ took the pressure off of all of us. They don't give a crap about anyone's feelings. They are savage as fuck. They drop the article. They release some photos. And then the floodgates open. So we were able to then drop our story, drop our photos. Started getting some more photos from other people in the area that had caught video of Travis getting down on one knee. It was a whirlwind. It was so exciting. It was such a fun night. And it also happened to be the night before I was getting on a flight to head out to Miami. I shit you not, I had a flight at 6 in the morning. I had to be up for a 3 a.m. Uber so I could get to the airport on time. And Travis got engaged. I repeat, Travis got engaged. There was no sleep in sight. There was no time for snoozing. There was no time for any of it. I still wasn't fully packed. Uber's coming in like 4 hours. It was the highest of the highs and a nerve-wracking situation because I gotta tell you, I am one of those people who has to sleep. I cannot pull an all-nighter. I cannot stay up until just like stay awake till the Uber gets there and sleep on the plane. I'm not that person. I am a busy plane person. I have to be awake. I need to be alert. I need to be doing something. I love to fly. I'm not scared of flying, but I just can't sleep on a plane and I can't operate without sleep. So I was in a real pickle because I needed to report on Kravis and I needed to know every single thing that was going on and I needed to see every picture and every video and I needed to talk about all of it with all of you. Fortunately, it did die down, so I was able to get about 3 hours of sleep that night, but gosh, what a magical event it was, and thank you all so much for always being like the best people to chat to about it. Thanks for always sending over all your hot tips because this page has really been so much fun for me because all of my followers make it the best ride. Let's talk about the specifics of the engagement. So we know that the engagement took place in Montecito at the resort that they constantly go to. It's like their getaway. And actually in one of the articles I read, Travis said that it's like a place where they have a lot of memories. It's really special to them. It's not too far away, so it's something they can drive to and they go to often. And so he told Courtney they were just going there, which didn't strike her as odd because they go there often. And so this wasn't something that was unexpected to her or like suspicious. She just got ready and went and got dressed, leads her out the back onto the beach. Down the sand, there is this beautiful arrangement of red roses in a circle. And right in the middle is a logo of a T and a K, which, by the way, probably got 4,000 DMs asking what the symbol was. I will tell you, it was not the prettiest TK I've ever seen. And I totally understand why nobody knew what the fuck it was. But it was, in fact, a T and a K. Kind of melded together into like a new symbol. And that was also on the ground and red roses, brought her in the middle, got down on one knee like a gentleman should, and proposed. Of course, our girl said yes. And it was absolutely beautiful. Huge 6-carat oval shaped diamond ring. It's fucking beautiful. It's fucking gorgeous. It's exactly what our queen deserves. And I'm so elated and happy for Kravis. Part of me is like, I can't believe this happened in such a short amount of time, 10 months. She's never wanted to get engaged. But I also truly believe that when you know and when it fits and when you're at a point in your life where they're just so completely them, you know, kind of a little bit quicker than you would know if you were younger, you know, kind of sooner, like if this person really suits you. And 10 months was all they needed to say, this is my person. And I just love it. There have been some absolutely beautiful shots that have come out of the two of them. Particularly, I love the ones where they're sitting down on the ground and they're just looking at each other and they're talking. And I have said many times, I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see their sexcapades because I just think it's wild. I could probably take notes of me and my husband could definitely learn a few tricks. But honestly, that conversation was probably so tender and so beautiful. And I think I'd probably love to like hear that conversation over any of them. They just look so comfortable, and comfortable is such a word that gets taken for granted. Like, you say, oh, they look comfortable together. It doesn't weigh as heavy as you would want it to. But honestly, comfort is so important. Like, you want to feel safe and at home and complete and peaceful with the person that you're with. And they just look like they fit. And that it looks right. And I'm so, so freaking happy for them. Then they go, they have dinner. It's rumored that Chloe and Tristan were there, that Chris was there. There is some video evidence from Kylie that she was there. There's some reposts from Kendall, so not sure if she was actually there, if she's just reposting. And then Kim obviously took a video, which is super exciting. And as we know, I mean, the Kardashian clan, they roll tight, right? So typically where there's one, there's others. No sign of Corey in any of the photos or videos. Travis's kids were there, Tiana, Alabama, Landon, one of Landon's friends. Lots of videos, lots of hugging, lots of excitement. Everyone seems pretty happy about this engagement. Obviously, you know, the exes, I'm sure, don't share those sentiments. Or, you know, maybe they do. Maybe they are happy for them. But, you know, I'm sure it stirs up some emotions. And so that's normal. And honestly, I don't want to make this engagement about them. I'd rather focus on the joy and the happiness. There have been some people have asked, like, I didn't see Mason there, or Penelope, or Rain. And, like, why do we think Courtney's kids weren't there? And to be totally honest with you, I don't freaking know, and it's none of my business. But if I was to speculate, what I'm thinking is these children are a lot younger than Travis's children, right? They're a lot younger. They have a different co-parenting dynamic than Travis and Shayna have. And honestly, maybe Travis didn't give Scott a heads up. Maybe he didn't say, hey, I'm going to propose to Courtney. I just want to let you know. Can the kids be there? Maybe he wanted it to be a surprise. So out of respect for Scott, if he's going to surprise Courtney with an engagement, not only out of respect for Scott, out of respect to Courtney, out of respect to the children that he loves, I'm sure, because they're Courtney's children, so obviously he loves them, he's not going to scare the shit out of them by announcing so quickly without a conversation, hey, I'm marrying your mom. I'm sure he probably talked it over with his kids. His kids knew about it in advance. But if he was going to properly surprise Courtney, he couldn't have her children there. He couldn't have her children there because that's her job and she would want to be the person to explain it to her children. That's my take on it. If I was the mother in that situation, I would completely, totally, and utterly be thankful to Travis for not having my kids there before I had a chance to speak to them. But again, they are engaged. And I think this is going to be one of the most beautiful, most tear-jerking weddings we will ever see. There's so much speculation on what the wedding is going to be like. Is she going to be a goth bride? Is she going to be a Disney bride? Is she going to be a fairy tale bride? There are definitely articles floating out there that she wants a big traditional wedding, which is super exciting because I was hoping they would not just elope and like ruin it for all of us. Because again, this is about us. No. So excited that we're gonna get to see a big fancy wedding. I all the bells and whistles. I want to see every little bit. I want all the kids in the wedding party. I want, like, pretty much that's it. I want all the kids in the wedding party. I think that's gonna be the cutest little thing. Super happy for Kravis. I can't even express how, like, elated I am to see all of this. This was a really big week for love because not only did Kravis get engaged, but Teresa Giudice got engaged to Louis. try to say it like Teresa, but no one's better than Andrea Lopez, okay? So they got engaged, and listen, I want to be happy for Teresa. I really do because she's had a really fucked up go of it. I'll never forgive Juicy Joe for what he did to her. I'll never forgive him for the time she spent away from her family. And honestly, hot take, I really like Teresa. I really want her to be happy. I really want her to have a good life. I really want her and her daughters to not have to like endure any more turmoil, even though I know she's a shit stirrer, but I have like such a soft spot for her. But this guy, he just doesn't seem genuine to me. He doesn't seem like the real deal. And he reminds me so much of Juicy Joe. And I'm so worried for her. But wish them the best. Hope for nothing but like sparkles and angels and love and fairy dust for Teresa. But let's just keep an eye on this one, okay, folks? The other engagement of the week was Madison LaCroix got engaged to her boyfriend whose name nobody knows. I don't know what to make of this girl. I really, truly don't. Is she beautiful? Gosh, of course she's beautiful. Perfect body. She's gorgeous. I love her tough girl attitude. I love that she doesn't take any shit. I love that she gives it right back. But I think she's a messy, messy chick. Okay, I think she loves to stir the pot. I think she loves to poke the bear. I think she loves to be the center of attention. And if she's not, she's going to create some odd scenarios so that she can be. And I just don't get down with that. I think the fact that she announced it on like Amazon Live is super contrived and like weird. It just all seems very showy to me and not very genuine. And I don't know what to make of it. But then again, I don't know what to make of her. So, you know what? Maybe it's the real deal. I will say I had heard rumors maybe a month back or so. Wasn't there a rumor out there that he wasn't necessarily being the best guy? I don't know. It seems a little fast and for me, but you know what? Again, wish him well, hope for nothing but love and light for them and their impending nuptials. And that's all I have to say about that. I don't know how else to put it without being less, you know, not past the shade line, right? Because there's like a shade line. There's shady without being shitty, and then there's just shitty. So I'm trying to just be like on the line of shady. And so because of that, I think that's where I have to stop talking about it. We're going to turn to some of the darker things that happened this week. Oh my God, am I boring myself? Sorry, guys. I told you if I don't sleep, I don't function, and I have had some terrible sleep lately. Self-induced because I like to fucking rage all night and like hang out with my husband who can operate off of 1 hour of sleep, and I'm like dead the next day. But again, turning to some of the more dark news for the week, unfortunately, there was horrible tragedy. One of the saddest stories I've heard come out of Hollywood in a long time. Unfortunately, this week on the set of Rust, a movie that was being shot starring Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin tragically and accidentally shot a live round at Helena Hutchins, who was a cinematographer on the set. It was supposed to have been a cold gun, a prop gun with blanks, and somehow live ammunition was in the gun. Alec was setting up a shot. The directors were checking the angles, and he fired the gun, just showing them what his plan and what his setup was to do. And suddenly, Helena was clutching her midsection. It was awful, awful story. I feel so terrible for everyone involved. Helena was a mother and a wife, very, very respected in the Hollywood community. And obviously, you know, and then another one of the directors was injured. And of course, there is Alec Baldwin, who now has to live with this guilt for the rest of his life. And that is another part of this that is just so tragic. I can't imagine from his perspective how you kind of grapple with those emotions moving forward, that you are responsible in some capacity for this life that's no longer here, for this mother that no longer is around for her child, and a wife who can no longer come home to her husband. And while obviously he is not the one responsible for the live ammunition, it's still like myself, if I'm putting myself in his shoes, I don't think I would be able to, like, I think I would have a hard time not blaming myself. There has been some reportings that one of the people who was a part of the multi-person process to check the gun, the ammunition, the barrel, has previously been fired from a different movie production for gun safety violations. So more to this story is going to be unfolding, but gosh, what a tragedy. And my prayers, my thoughts go out to everyone involved, because everyone's got a lot of healing to do. Also, this is a really sad one for me too. And obviously nothing as tragic as a death, but I was actually really pulling for this couple and was really, really hoping that they were the real deal. But Lala Ken and Randall Emmett seem to have split this week amidst rumors that Randall has been cheating, that he was, left a place with two women, and all signs point to the fact that they are broken up and that they are separated. She's removed him from her social media. She has posted a few shady posts that indicate she is done. Some of them using Beyonce's Sorry track. And so really kind of makes me sad. Again, I like them as a couple. I thought they were such a good fit. Of course, they had a very unusual start. Randall was married to Amber Childers when Lala started dating him, and she did break up that relationship. At least that's the way Amber has always claimed it to be. And so, there is that saying, if he cheats once, he cheats on her, he's going to cheat on you. And it's interesting because if you've been watching Vanderpump Rules, the reboot, I've been calling it, because it's pretty much a whole new cast. I mean, there are some of the veterans there, but really the OGs that kind of made the show very dramatic are gone. And so I've been calling it the reboot. So if you've been watching the VPR reboot, Lala just recently in one of the episodes was talking to Sheena about how she kind of has to look at Brock's past in order to prepare herself for possible future outcomes, and to just be have your eyes open. And she even goes so far as to say, Randall cheated on his wife, so I can't be stupid and think, oh no, he'll never do that to me. I need to know that he's capable of this and have my eyes open. So, I mean, it's interesting that she pretty much covered this while filming, which probably took place about 6 months ago. And here we are, it's kind of coming to fruition. So really sad to see that happen. Don't know if that's the final outcome. I do hope that they're able to work it out, because I think they are a super cute couple. We also got a taste of Winter House this week. I gotta tell you, this show is a fucking blast already. Okay, I can't get enough of it. All-star lineup, all-star cast, and Hubs is not even there yet. Okay, we've got messy ass Austin, who is, listen, to say he's ugly is just not true. Okay, he's a good looking guy, but he is everything I could never want in a man. He's needy. He's a baby. He cries about everything. He's just all the things. He's all the things that make a man child. And It just looks like it's going to be a fucking shit show, and I cannot wait. The first night in, spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen the first episode, just to, like, hit the 15-second fast forward, okay? First night, Kyle throwing his usual fit, okay? Amanda, as usual, passing out with her girlfriends, and Kyle, hammered, sleeps on the floor. I don't know how their livers are going to survive for the 2.5 weeks that they're in this house, but I am here for the fucking ride, okay? Winter House looks like absolute gold to me. I love every second of it so far. If you haven't seen it, you have to check it out. It's amazing. The Beverly Hills reunions are underway. We are at, episode 2 of the 4-part reunion. We're halfway through the Beverly Hills reunion month. I think they're doing a good job of asking Erica the questions. And I am one of the people, don't hate me everyone, who actually really thinks that she didn't know everything, right? Like, I don't think she knew he was defrauding victims. I don't think she knew money he was putting in her account was coming from victims' money. I don't think any of that. I think that she found out he wasn't doing something right. She didn't know the extent of the damage. She didn't know any of the details of it. Someone probably gave her a hot tip and was like, listen, he's in big trouble. Fucking walk away. And she was probably like, listen, he's already cheating on me. I'm not going down with the ship. I don't know what he's done, but I'm getting the hell out of here. And that's what I think happened. I think all the other stuff started rolling out after she tried to make her getaway. And unfortunately, I think she's being like kind of villainized for things that I don't know that she did. I also don't think that her attitude towards it and her the way she's handling it helps the situation. But I get the fact that she doesn't just want to lay down and die. Like, she doesn't want to just lay down and be kicked. She is going to continue fighting. She's like, if I lay down and die, everyone's going to think I'm guilty. If I fight back, everyone thinks I'm protesting too much. Like, I get she's in a lose-lose situation. And while we all need to feel bad for the victims, because those are the people who really lost here, I do sort of feel bad for the fact that, like, she probably did absolutely nothing to bring this upon herself, except trust the fact that her husband was, the money he was bringing into the house was clean. Like, it's a very Teresa situation, right? Like, it's a very, like, I just signed where Joe told me to sign, you know, type of thing. It's like, that happens in wealthy relationships all the time. I mean, the husband is the breadwinner. He says, sign this piece of paper, honey. They sign it. They're not questioning their husband's ethics. They're not questioning whether, you know, their husband is. I mean, if my husband brings home a form, and obviously levels of scale here come into play, my husband comes home and he's like, here, babe, I need you to sign this. I'm signing it. I don't really ask him because I consider us a unit. If I go down, he goes down. Like, I don't think he's going to sink himself, so I'm hoping he's not going to sink me. We got the kids. Like, I'm not looking that deeply into it. And so, while everyone's like, oh, she should be reading every document, it's her husband. And there's a level of trust when you put that ring on your finger and you say yes to that man or woman. It's, you kind of have to give in some of the trust. And a lot of times, I know myself, like, I don't look at everything my husband puts in front of me. Again, levels of scale. I don't think my husband is, you know, my husband's not out here making shady deals or anything, or has access to millions of dollars in funds that belong to flight victims. But, you know, it just, marriage comes with a certain level of trust. And so, I think to look at a woman and be like, I can't believe she trusted him when we're talking about her husband, especially a husband of 20 years, it's just a little bit harsh to say to somebody. So we're going to see how it shakes out. There's two more parts to the Beverly Hills reunion, it does look like Andy starts getting into the really hard-hitting questions towards the end. So I don't think we're quite done with Eric yet. And honestly, I'm hoping that by the end of it, we have a little bit of clarity. I want to wrap this up with just saying again how extremely happy I am for Kravis and how I really can't wait for the wedding planning to begin. And I just want to throw this out there again, if anyone has any connections in the Kardashian camp, if they are needing a, you know, usher for the wedding, a server for the wedding, someone to collect the tissues full of tears at the wedding, I am available. I am available. I'll pay for my own flight. I will wear a uniform. I don't really usually look good in uniforms, so this is a big deal. But I will wear a uniform and I will have a smile on my face. I need to be at the wedding. So if anyone has any connects, get your girl in. Congratulations, Kravis, on your engagement. We love you.